This is 17th class, Kartik, 2009, October 16th, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Division 1, Chapter 2, Text 273. He's been describing the definition of Ragatmika Bhakti. This is a section of Raghunuga Sadhana. He describes Ragatmika Bhakti. And then he gives the definition of what is that type of devotion that the eternal residents of Vrindavan have. And then he's explaining there's two types of Ragatmika Bhakti, because Raghunuga Bhakti means to follow the definition, characteristics, symptoms and qualities and qualifications of the Raghunuga Bhaktas. Then there's two types. So Kama Rupa Sambandha Rupa Cheti Bhaved Vidha. He said, Ragatmika Bhakti is of two kinds. One is called Kamarup, which means a form of rupam, form of passionate desire of enjoying the Lord as one's beloved, or serving in that mood of madhurya, conjugal love. And Sambandha Rupa, which is a form of having a feeling of relationship with the Lord. And then this commentary is there from this ancient book here. So the devotees, it says here, in short, kama rupa means sensual attraction, and sambandha rupa means relationship, like sambandha means relationship. The experience of devotees in kama rupa, ragatmika bhakti, is they feel intense desire to satisfy Lord Krishna in conjugal love. And in sambandha rupa, the Ragatmika Bhaktas, the Ragatmika Brajajanas, they have an intense desire to satisfy Krishna as his parent, friend, or intimate servant. So Sambandha Rupa Ragatmika Bhakti means that Vatsalya Bhav, or that Sakya Bhav, or Dasya Bhav. So this is, Jiva Goswami says that the word is used here, Kamarup, because this Ragatmika Bhakti is caused by the beauty of an intense passion for association with Krishna and Madhurya Rati, as Krishna is the transcendental beloved and the one is the transcendental lover. It is called Kamarup because Kam means intense desire or passionate desire for the transcendental love sports with Krishna. Of course, Kama Rupa has nothing to do with lust or Kama, this mundane world, or the mundane lust, which is caused by Rajagun. The Kama or passion here means the extremely loving thirst of the Brajagopis for satisfying the intense passionate desires of their Supreme Beloved. Well, this is, somehow this word is used by Rupa Goswami to describe this type of Ragatmika Bhakti, because we know something about the effect of being lusty or feeling under the force of lust or calm. We know what calm is. So he's trying to, the gopis have that intense attraction to Krishna, intense fixation on Krishna. So they call it, it has a form of calm, but it's transcendental. And they have a passion, they have intense lust or intense passion. The difference between our calm and the gopis' calm, so when we're affected by kam or lust, we're pushed and burned by an intense craving, thirst and hunger and drive and force to satisfy our own senses, and especially our sense, you can say the sense of sex pleasure, sex enjoyment. In other words, our happiness, our sense pleasure. But calm in relation to the gopis, they have intense craving, taste, thirst, burning passion, not to satisfy their own senses or to give pleasure to themselves or collect or gain pleasure for themselves, but to give and contribute pleasure, to give Krishna give pleasure to Krishna and contribute to his happiness. So it sounds like a very strange thing. I so intensely want to make you happy that I'm full of calm. Intense, very unusual. In the material world, if someone's lusty, that's their business, being lusty, and their business is to find someone to satisfy their lust or fulfill their emptiness. But the gopis want to fulfill the emptiness of Krishna and satisfy his hankering or craving for their love. So this sambandha rupa ragatmika bhakti, this is relation. There's an intense desire to satisfy the desires of the divine son or divine friend or divine master in relationship to parental affection, vatsalya, sakya, or dasya. Such ragatmika bhakti is called sambandha rupa. Although there is a relationship in kama rupa, yet because of the special nature of this relationship, it has been separately stated. In other words, the lovers of Krishna, they also have a relationship with him as his lovers and beloved, kanta, priyam, priyatam. But the emphasis and the main backing, or let's say background of the relationship, is just intense desire based on the beauty. The gopis see that Krishna is so beautiful. I can't think of anyone more qualified or suitable to receive their beautiful forms and their beautiful love. So they want, and they want to offer themselves for Krishna's pleasure. And then he says how Kamarupa is basically reserved for the gopis. In Kamarupa, there's three kinds of Kamarupa, the Rigatmikas. One is Samartha Rati, which maybe you've heard these terms. They're also mentioned in 10th canto. Samartha Rati in Braj, Samanjasa Rati in Dwarka, and the Sadharani Rati. Sadharani Rati means commonplace, ordinary Rati, which is in Mathura, exemplified by Kubja or Chivakra. She had lust to offer herself for the pleasure of Krishna, or his conjugal pleasure, and love dalliance, and no one else. She wasn't interested in Kamsa, whom she was working for, supplying chandan every day. And she wasn't interested in any kind of arrangement or relationship to satisfy her lust in the material world. Everything, her whole mind, heart, everything was fixed on Krishna. But she wanted to offer herself to Krishna for his pleasure, because he made her beautiful by his touch. She was bent in three places, Trivakra, we say Tribanga, Tribangi. She was also Trivakra, means bent in three places. And as soon as Krishna touched her, she became so beautiful and so charming and celestial that Krishna naturally felt lusty and attracted to Krishna. She pulled on his cloth, pulled on his chadar, and said, "Come on, let's go home." And he said, "Well, not right now. I have some other work to do, but I won't let you down. I'll come to your house sometime." So he went there with Uddhava, of all people. Krishna took Uddhava to the house of a... Sometimes there's different ways to describe society girl or just the house of Kuja, whatever. And he just sat in another room on a chair. I don't even think he sat in a chair. He touched the chair with his hand, and he sat on an asana on the floor out of humility and respect to Krishna and other reasons. So this is called Sadharani. Sadharani means very commonplace, ordinary attachment. Sadharani Rati, ordinary love or attachment for Krishna, which is special, it's unique. Kuvja didn't love or like anyone in this material world. The object of her lust was Krishna, and Krishna alone, so therefore it becomes a type of prema or rati. But it doesn't match the prema rati of the Mahishis or queens of Dwarka, what to speak of the gopis. Their samanjasa rati of the queens of Dwarka is such that they only wanted to serve Krishna, and they weren't so much lusty like Kuja. And they were mostly thinking 99% of Krishna's happiness and pleasure. But they had some idea that we will derive some pleasure by serving Krishna, by satisfying him. In a similar way, now you contrast the Mahishis or the queens of Dwarka with Kuja Mathura, and she was thinking, "Yes, I want to satisfy Krishna 10%. I want Krishna to fulfill me with satisfaction 90%. So it's the other way around in Dwarka. Now you come to Samartha Rati of the Brajagopis, and their Rati is such that their loving attachment is such that they don't want anything for themselves. So this Kamarupa, This Kamarupa Ragatmika Bhaktas, Ragatmika Janas, the queens of Dwarka, the ladies, society ladies, or the Puri Vasis, Puri Naris, the ladies of Mathura, and especially Kuja, and then the gopis of Braj. These are three expressions of Kamarupa. Of course, the gopis is the most pure and highest form. The gopis have Samartha Rati. They're only, Samartha means complete objective, complete goal, complete meaning of their Rati is simply to give pleasure to Krishna. There's absolutely not the slightest desire within the gopis for their personal pleasure in the company of Krishna. All their intense passions are only for the absolute satisfaction of the ever-increasing and ever-new demands of Krishna. They only think of his pleasure. They don't even think, oh, I'm serving him, I'll drive a little bit of pleasure. But mostly I'm serving him, like Queens of Dwarka, or Kubja and other ladies in Mathura. They're thinking, well, I'll serve Krishna. I'm dedicated to pleasing him, but I want a good dose of pleasure in return. I want a good measure of pleasure in return. So they're a little bit more selfish. And the queens of Dwarka are a lot less selfish. And the gopis in Vrindavan, they're described as being completely, not only not selfish at all, but selfless. They're only concerned with Krishna, but they're so much concerned with Krishna that they enter into a special category. Because in this material world, sometimes a humanitarian or a welfare worker or some politician, they say he is a selfless worker. He's working or she's working untiringly for the benefit of humanity. They're a selfless worker, Mother Teresa or someone like that. She's gone. Well, they're selfless. And they may be, but not really. Because to be less yourself means that you have no sense of ego and no sense of mind. As yourself means minus Atma. Selfless means minus Atma. Atma means self. Atma means mind. Atma means heart, consciousness, soul. So if you're selfless, it means that you don't exist. Minus the soul. So everyone, even a materialistic person, they want some adoration, they want some gratification. So they're not selfless in the true sense. They're doing all these nice things, but in the back of their mind they're thinking, maybe I'll win a Nobel Peace Prize, or whatever. Or I get some recognition, or get my picture in the paper, whatever. There's some subtle drive, some subtle motivation for some type of recognition, which, if they're perfectly honest, they may admit. But when you apply these terms of selfish and selfless, when you come to the gopis, there's a whole new category. It's called self-forgetful. And they actually really become selfless because they totally forget themselves. They're so much absorbed in Krishna, Krishna's pleasure and happiness, that they even think one gopi and the other gopi thinks that she's Krishna. And they reenact his pastimes. One takes the form of Kaliya, another gopi takes the form of Krishna and dances on her head. And so they forget themselves. Who am I? I don't know who I am. I'm Krishna. No, I'm Krishna. Because they're so much enraptured with Krishna and absorbed in his happiness that they think that they become Krishna when they're separated from Krishna. Even on rare occasions there appears to be a slight scent of any form of desire for personal enjoyment when they're in the company of Krishna, such fragrance immediately evaporates. The gopis offer themselves completely to the supreme pleasure of Krishna. The gopis and manjaris that are in Samartha Rati and Vrindavan, they don't have any desire whatsoever for their own happiness and pleasure. Their supreme enjoyment lies in making Krishna happy and enjoy his pleasures. In the Samanjasa Rati of the Dwarka Mahishis, or Queens of Dwarka, there's an equal desire for mutual enjoyments of themselves and also Krishna. So they want to serve Krishna, make him happy, but they want to That's why it's called sam anjasa, equal, sama. They want to enjoy on the same level as much as he does. These conceptions of ragatmika bhakti on the plane of transcendence, or aprakriti bhumi, are inconceivable by the human minds. They sound similar to mundane relations, but they are essentially and absolutely non-earthly. Even the words sound similar. Love in the mundane world between any two earthly objects, man or woman, birds and animals, is stale, transitory, and ultimately becomes rather ugly. One must make a clear distinction between prema, transcendental prema, and kama in the material world. They sound similar or seem identical, but actually one is dense darkness of midnight and the other is the bright day of bright sunlight of midday. This is something, text 273. And then as he usually does, Rupa Goswami, he says in his own language, he writes in Sanskrit to introduce some concept, that there are two types of ragatmika bhakti, kamanuga, ragatmika bhakti, and samandanuga. And someone might say, oh, is there any example? Can you show me an example or cite some example of that? So then he says, yes, there's two types of ragatmika bhakti are in the seventh canto of Bhagavatam, in a verse about, it says here, 7:130. Gopya kamad bayat kam so dveshach chedyadayo nipa sambandad vrishna ya snehad yuyam bhaktya vayam vivo. As by vaidhi bhakti one can attain one's spiritual goals, many persons have attained suitable forms according to their types of absorption. After absorbing their minds in the Lord, out of lust, hatred, fear, and affection, and after giving up their sinful mentality. Yudhisthira, the gopis, they attained the Lord by their conjugal desires, kamad. Kamsa attained him by his fear, bhayat. Shishupal and other kings by their envy, dveshad. The Brishnis of Braja by their relationship with Krishna, which means sambandha. And you Pandavas by your great affection for Krishna. And we, Narada Muni, by our vaidhi bhakti have attained the mercy of the Lord. So this verse is 274 and 275. So he's showing here how they, by hatred, all these different feelings, some are on a platform of intense love or calm, and some are relationship. The Brishnis are related to Krishna. There's family members. That's a sambandha, that's a relationship. Then the purport, Jiva Goswami, more elaborately, he says that King Kamsa was always thinking of Krishna out of fear that Krishna will come to kill him. It was predicted the eighth son will kill me. So he's thinking out of fear and he got benefit. Now King Vena says that he cited he didn't belong to any category. He was envious of the Lord and he hated the Lord, but he just said that and left it at that and acted like that. But his mind was not absorbed in the Lord. So he doesn't fit any of his categories. Kamsa, he was afraid of the Lord, but his mind was totally absorbed in the Lord. Parama Vishtata. Vishta, his mind had entered deeply into the Lord. He was thinking of Krishna's form day and night and thinking of Krishna's name. Whereas King Vena, who's quite a character in the Bhagavatam, he went to hell. He was thinking of God in a negative way. But his mind was not absorbed. Mostly he was absorbed in sense gratification. And mostly he was speaking very badly about the Lord. But Kamsa, his mind was completely absorbed in the Lord. He wasn't really thinking badly. He was just thinking, well, he's going to come and kill me. Who's going to come? Oh, that blue boy. And he kills all these demons I send. He's always playing with the cows and he wears a peacock feather. He was intensely absorbed and meditating on the form of Krishna. But out of fear. And Vena was absorbed. He was meditating, but And actually, that's the point. He wasn't absorbed. He just thought, oh, God, I don't care about him. He doesn't exist. Told the Brahmins, you just worship me. No need. I'm God. I'm Narada-deva. I'm God among men. You don't have to worship any God. Jiva Goswami says, he lacked deep absorption of the mind. Therefore, he was thrown into hell because of enmity with the Lord. The conclusion is that somehow or other, by all means, we should engage the mind in the service of the Lord. So Shishupal, he was always constantly engaged in thinking of Krishna out of envy. Yadavas were always engaged, but thinking of the relationship with him as a family member. And like this. So in all these instances, the intense absorption of the mind in Krishna is the cause of attaining Braja Prema or Moksha. So the gopis in this verse, it says the gopis, their man, their snehaman, their mind was always thinking of Krishna out of intense love and intense affection. Of course, they attained Krishna. And these other personalities, even though Shishupal and Kamsa are basically demons, are against Krishna's devotees, because their minds were totally absorbed in Krishna, they got the benefit of that absorption. That absorption, although they had bad feelings, ill feelings, even they wanted to kill Krishna, but by always sitting Krishna in their mind, eventually what happened is all those bad feelings disappeared and all those bad thoughts, and they actually became blessed by the Lord. The point, the bottom line is somehow or other absorb the mind in Krishna. And at the present stage of existence, our minds are not very absorbed in Krishna. They're absorbed in a lot of things, but not Krishna. So he's saying you can get absorbed. And fear is a good way to get absorbed. Affection is a good way to get absorbed. Anger is a good way to get absorbed. Envy is a good way to get absorbed. If you're envious of someone, then you can really get absorbed in them. Like Prabhupada said once, he said, if you're envious of someone, then whatever you see that person do, you'll find fault with. Oh, he walks like this, he talks like that, he's this and that. And if you love someone, and you're really in love and attached with someone, then you'll appreciate whatever they do. How they hold a water cup, like Prabhupada would hold his cup like this, finger out like that. Or how they talk or sit or whatever they do. Oh, this is wonderful, that is wonderful. Because love. But you're absorbed. The main thing is become absorbed. So the gopis, they are so much intensely absorbed in Krishna, thinking in every second, every moment, how to satisfy and please him. So that the only word that can describe that intense level of absorption is kam. So their attachment to Krishna, their rag atmika, their rag, their attachment, their absorption in Krishna can only be called kamarup ragatmika bhakti. He discusses some more things. These are, of course, all the philosophy or the sambandha itself of Raghunuga Bhakti. And then he finally, after a couple of verses, he'll start with the practices of the mind and senses to engage in Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakti. Very few verses he discusses, but maybe 10, 12, 15 like that. So tomorrow we'll continue with these verses that are introducing the main discussion of Abhideya, or the practices of Raghunuga Sadhana. His background, foundation, understanding, different types, different qualities and definitions of Ragatmika Bhakti, which is in fact what Raghunuga Bhakti follows and models itself after.